Thanks for tuning in, Jet Nation. You are listening to Joe, Vinny, and the Jets. Be sure to follow at Jet Nation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And check out our forums. Jet Nation is your home for uncensored Jets talk. Now, here's your hosts, Joe Blewett and Vinny Latarocca.
And welcome to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. Vin, I'm actually surprised we actually got the real intro to work. I was actually very surprised. You know, three or four weeks in a row, it actually didn't work. I was actually just considering calling this the Brandon Dowling Show and just not caring anymore. But no, we have a lot to talk about tonight. Obviously, the preseason game. More of the starters play a little bit more, so a little bit more to break down with that. A whole bunch of injuries, and that's what you're going into preseason. You don't want injuries, so we have a couple of injuries to talk about. What to look forward to in the Giants game, a couple different things. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. Life is pretty good right now. we went to that Jet preseason game. It was nice. It was nice being in MetLife for the first time this year. So that was always fun seeing, all the Jet fans at home. But, everything's good, man. The Mets are hot, playing the Phillies right now. Yeah. And everything's, shaping up a few weeks away from the season, ready to go.
Yeah, Mets, what, 14 runs, and then they had a game of like 4 or 5 or 6 runs, I forget what it was, and they had 16 runs last night. You're actually there. So that's awesome. No, preseason game was definitely awesome. Obviously, we got there a little bit late, so you get to tailgate and stuff, but going there and, seeing all the Jets fans and going to the stadium and, people cheering, it was definitely fun. I definitely had a good time. Let's break down the game, Vin. We're going to start off, I want to talk about more people who did well, but for right now, let's just talk about our three stars of the game. We didn't do that last week, but I just thought we can do it tonight. Obviously there's not a whole bunch to talk about. We're really, getting into the grind of where the season's really coming, closely approaching. So a lot of fans are just waiting for it. And now these preseason games, obviously after this week, the fourth one against the Eagles is just basically like a practice, and maybe it's to see if a guy like a Deion Simon can make it over a TJ Barnes, a little stuff like that. So the fourth game isn't as interesting, but Give me your third star, Vinny, or just give me one in general. You don't have to give me in order. Yeah. I know that's hard to think about top of your head, but give me one of your stars of the night.
My third star, I'm gonna go with. Let me think here. My third star, I'm gonna go with Bryce Petty. He didn't really flash, too much in the numbers. So, he had a solid game, but it was night and day from that first Lions game. He really looked like an undrafted quarterback that game. He looked clueless, again, it was his first, action in NFL. I guess he was definitely nervous as hell. But, he played really well. He played really well, obviously against the Falcons. Had a nice touchdown to a Posey in the end zone. He looked sharp, The guy definitely has a cannon. There was a reason why he was regarded as a third or fourth top quarterback in the draft. But, I think he was, 13 for 19 or something like around those numbers with a touchdown. He looked good, stepped up in his pocket. The footwork was, again, night and day from – week one, he didn't know what he was doing. He was stumbling over his own 2 feet, and he looked really good, especially that touchdown pass.
Yeah,
that was nice to see that. With the Matt Flynn signing, if he can't go a week, and we need God forbid, we need Bryce Petty to step in. That was definitely an encouraging sign to see what he did last week. But that would be my third star. He showed a lot of promise that game.
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily know if him just playing good against, second and third stringers mean that we'd be comfortable. I don't think either me or you would be comfortable with him coming in. Obviously, he still has a lot of work to do. But when you talk about night and day from the first Lions game to the Falcons game, the way he looked, and I don't know the stats. I don't know, 13 for 19, 200 yards. I don't know exactly what it was because the stats really don't matter. But when you see a guy in the first game who's indecisive, like I said last week, Bilal Powell actually had to push him under center because he thought it was a shotgun snap, and it really wasn't. He's obviously nervous as hell, like you just said. But this game, he made some reads. He went through a couple of his reads. I believe on a DeVere Posey touchdown, he actually went through a couple of reads and went back to DeVere Posey. I believe it was that play. He looked comfortable. He looked decisive. I definitely agree with your third start. If I had to pick a third one, it would actually Bryce Petty would definitely be mine. And, obviously we're not going to expect for Bryce Petty to come out the next game and do that again. He's going to have his bumps and bruises. There's going to be times where he looks really bad again. There's going to be times where he looks, you know, really good. He's going to be inconsistent. He's a fourth-round quarterback. He might not be ready until next year or possibly even the year after, but for him to show that after his first game, you know, is definitely an encouraging sign. So I definitely agree with you on that. It was definitely good to see that. Now give me your second star, Vin.
Second star, I'm going with the beast in the backfield, number 33, Ivory. I know he only had five carries, but that 33-yard touchdown he had was very nice. I believe their ones were still in for the most part for the Falcons, so that was good to see. You know him, you know, make some nice cuts. You know this guy is one of the hardest people to tackle. I think it was Willie Colon who said in past 2 days, this guy is one of the hardest guys to tackle in the NFL. I mean, he was comparing him to the elite guys, but I'm not sure if he's quite there yet or if he ever will for that matter. But again, when this guy gets going, it's going to take two to three guys to get him down. And that 33-yard touchdown, he showed a lot of vision on that. I know Chris Ivory, this is the guy. Jets haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher in 4 years now. Yeah. Chris Ivory is getting close, back-to-back 800-yard seasons. This is the guy who, especially with Ryan Fitzpatrick there, if he plays like he played in the preseason game during the season, not taking many chances down the field, and his team is going to, rely on the running game a lot, like they have been, over the past decade or so now. But, with Chris Ivory and the guys up front, all the veterans up front, that was definitely a good sign to see him. Only five carries, but again, a nice 33-yard touchdown, breaking one or two, three tackles, whatever it was, showing some nice vision, making a cut, going downfield, get the score. That was nice to see him do that. He had some nice blocks, on some passing plays. So that was good to see that. Chris Ivory, this guy's, looked good throughout camp, and so far so good in the first two preseason games. Again, he's just more, more of what we're used to. The beast in the backfield, 33, Chris Ivory. I'll give him the second star for that bad boy.
that's partial of the offensive line too. The offensive line has looked decent in the pass game, but the running game. I'm talking about the first offensive line because actually the second and third team offensive line has actually looked pretty dreadful the past couple of weeks. But he's definitely running very well. Obviously, I believe the last couple 2 years with the Jets, he ran right around 200 carries. Ben, I'm not completely sure. We can get the numbers up in a little bit, but if he gets those 250 to 300 carries this year, but we're not really sure how the running back position is going to pan out. And I actually want to talk about that in a little bit after our stars, with the running back position. And, I really don't think that a guy like Zach Stacy and Darrell Richardson have really stuck out, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I definitely agree with Ivory, but I'd actually give my second star to a guy who's been fighting on the team for the past couple of years, who got that, 56-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. And I'm afraid to call him my boy because every time I call somebody my boy, it seems like they either get suspended for drugs or whatever it is. Another thing we have to talk about in a little bit. Like I said, we're, again, school counselors or something to talk about Odey Abushi, which is just fantastic. But no, Ivory definitely runs well. He's actually catching the ball a little bit more out of the backfield. I want to ask you about that real quick, Finn. His first year – I believe he had one catch, I think, his first year. In the second year, I know he had zero. 2012, he had two receptions. 2013, he had, two receptions, too. And 2014, last year, he actually had 18 receptions. And then Friday night, he had three catches for 20 yards. So I think Ivory's really, really been working on his pass-catching ability. Obviously, he can run between the tackles. He can, truck some people over. But I think Ivory actually – will really start to get involved a lot more with the passing game. And if Ivory can catch the ball, and you have Blau Powell who has flash as well, and he's actually looked he has a little bit more giddy up in his running game. He actually looks like he's playing pretty well. Sometimes he's running between the second and third line, and they don't really create holes for him, so you have to kind of look past that. You can't just look at the stats and actually watch the game. Do you think there's a need for the Jets to carry four running backs if you have a guy like Ivory who can catch the ball to the backfield and who can obviously carry the rock? And everybody talks about his injury problems all the time, but how many times has he really got injured in the last 2 years he's been on the Jets? So is it time to give Ivory the rock more? And then, a guy on Blau Powell really seems like he's stepping up as a number two running back, as obviously Ridley's probably going to be out. He's probably going to be out on the PUP list. You have a guy in Darrell Richardson who just got a concussion. And then you have a guy like Zach Stacy, who I really don't think has been shining in training camp. He had a couple nice runs. And again, the same thing with Ivory. The same thing with Powell. He was running between the second and third team lines. But Zach Stacy really hasn't impressed me like I thought he would. But do you think the Jets should carry, four running backs? Do you think it's only necessary to carry three? Or, what do you think with that situation?
Yeah, I mean, like you said before, with the carries of Chris Ivory the past few years. Last year, this guy only touched the ball 198 times, via the handoff. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, if he plays like this, if he shows, you know, shows this again next week against the Giants, which he should, their defense isn't, you know, their defensive line, their linebackers, you know, he should have a nice game against them in the first half, I think. If he does that, again, this guy just came out, I think it was yesterday or today, saying, you know, people haven't seen my full potential yet, you know, and he strives for greatness and all these, like, you know, encouraging quotes that he was shooting out of his mouth. So, I mean, I, you know, really with the way he's played and the way Bilal Powell, you know, he can do, you know, last game, five, you know, again, it's preseason, but five carries for 27 yards of Bilal Powell. That's nice. You know, this guy, I think last year he averaged, you know, I think it was like 6 or 7 yards per touch, something along those lines. So, I mean, if you have those, you know what you're going to get out of Chris Ivory. This guy, again, like you said, like how many, you know, he's been nicked up and banged up, but that's every running back. Any guy who's going to run between tackles is going to have, you know, some nicked up ribs, you know, a hammy, you know, whatever the case may be. But this is a guy in Chris Ivory who I think, you know, the Jets can increase his load to, you know, to, again, 198 carries last year to 250, you know, in that area, you know, that would be just great for this offense, especially, again, with all these weapons on the outside, to really have, you know, a true number one in Chris Ivory. I mean, I'm not knocking on, you know, Zach Stacy or Ridley or anything like that, but Zach Stacy, I don't think, you know, again, like you said, hasn't shown any flashes. Granted, he's playing with, you know, the backups and, you know, second and third strings. But I mean, if you want, you know, if you think you're a, you know, a guy who deserves first team carries, then you got to show something.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, with Chris Ivory, this guy who I think once Stephen Ridley comes back and, you know, they have Chris Ivory, Bilal Powell, and Stephen Ridley, that's going to be nice, because even if Chris Ivory's nicked up or banged up, you know, during the game, Stephen Ridley's a guy who can, you know, basically just come in and fill his shoes, especially around the goal line when, you know, you get bit, you know, get banged up the most. So, I mean, with those three running backs and, you know, with a plethora of receivers that this team has, I don't really see a need for four running backs. But again, you know, there's still 2 weeks of, you know, preseason left. Again, Chris Ivory has had those injury problems in the past, but again, it really hasn't, you know, he's been getting hurt late in season where it hasn't, you know, affected his whole season. So, I mean, Chris Ivory, this guy, like you said, if he can add, what, he had 18 catches last year, you said, if he can add, you know, another 10 to that, another, you know, 5 to 10, be around the 30 catch mark for him. If he can touch the ball between, you know, 225 and 250 on the ground, that's close to 300 touches for a guy like Chris Ivory, who was, when he's in open field, it's going to, again, take at least two people to, you know, get him down. You don't want to go against this guy one-on-one, you know, against Chris Ivory. I think Chris Ivory is going to win that battle, you know, most times out of not. So, again, with that being said, I think three running backs is definitely something Coach Bowles should consider. You know, granted, if, you know, with all these injuries with the receivers, if, you know, if Curley and Owusu are still injured, then you might see them, you know, keep four running backs. But again, you know, still plenty of time here in camp.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to, we're getting very off topic right here, but, you know, the injuries that they've had seven, I don't know what that was. Something might be wrong with Blog Talk. For some reason, it says we have a minute left on the show, Vinny, but I know if we keep talking, live listeners might not be able to listen for a little bit until I guess the show goes up. I don't know. What is happening with Blog Talk right now? But we really are going to have to make a change soon, because this is just absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, the injuries, 17 injuries. You have Maldon, who sprained his knee. Pace, who injured his groin. And then you have a couple guys, Eskridge, Darrell Richardson, and Curley all got concussions Friday. And then you have Shaq Evans hurt his back. Ben Ajulana came out, I believe, in the third quarter because he got injured. So there's just so many injuries right now. But so that's a problem, and that's really going to test our depth very early in the season. But something else that I want to talk about too, and obviously you're talking about Ivory. If he can catch the ball, you know, how much he can, then he can do everything. He can run, he can catch. And obviously we know as Jets fans, I don't think we're just overrating him because we're Jets fans, but you look at his, you know, his running style and how many yards he gets after first contact. He's obviously a very effective runner. And you Bilal Powell, you know, he had a couple big runs that game. You know, you look at his stat sheet, it doesn't look too impressive. Oh, there it goes again. But, you know, you look at his stat sheet, and it doesn't look too impressive, but he had a couple big runs negated by penalties. I'm not sure exactly what they were, but I remember he ran up the left sideline, and he actually was very impressive that whole entire game. So I don't think it's necessarily a need to carry four running backs. What I think is going to happen is they're going to carry three, and obviously the third one's going to be either Darrell Richardson or Zach Stacy. And then as soon as Ridley gets back, if he's showing, you know, flashes in camp, I think that he's going to get that spot back when he comes back, you know, after the 6 weeks or whatever it may be for the PUP list. So I don't think they're going to carry, I think they're going to carry three. And it's something else, too, that I've been noticing about the games is that the Jets have been using the fullback a lot. I think Tommy Bohannon actually looked pretty impressive. And I can admit when I'm wrong, Vinny, that I think that the Jets actually will carry a fullback. I thought a couple weeks ago that they might not actually, you know, have a need for one. And maybe they can flex a guy like a Kellen Davis over to, you know, Bohannon's role. But Bohannon's been playing well. The Jets have been using fullback more than I actually thought. So I think they're going to carry three running backs and then a fullback. And then when Stephen Ridley gets back, you know, I think that Darrell Richardson or Zach Stacy will probably get cut, you know, whenever that may be. But getting back to my second star of the game, Vinny, I definitely like Rontez Miles. He showed more of what he did with the Lions in that game. You know, flashed, was around the ball a lot. He broke up a couple of run plays. I believe there was a pitch play where he actually blew up the run. And then obviously he had that huge scoop and score. It's not like he stripped him, but he did what he was supposed to do. He picked up the ball, he ran. He didn't really have to make any cuts, but that was definitely encouraging for a guy like Rontez Miles, who we all want to see do very well and who obviously is going to need to step up into a huge role this year, being the third or fourth corner, safety on the roster. So he's my number two, but number one, Vinny, I think we all know who it is, but go ahead and talk about our boy, the big cat.
The big cat. You gotta give the big cat the first star. You know, three tackles for loss.
Yeah.
You know, a sack and a half, five tackles, four by himself. You know, hey man, like we said, you know, a few weeks ago when the Sheldon news broke, we were like, you know, how is the newly he's 21 years old. The guy just got his license. You know, for crying out loud. You know, now being the starting defensive end for the Jets. You know, it's been a crazy preseason, and, you know, the big cat coming into, you know, fruition, you know, with a huge game. You know, the sack safety, of course, was, you know, brilliant to see him, you know, living up to his run, you know, his run stuffing ability. Like we knew it, like, you know, he's the best. There's a reason why he was the best defensive prospect in the draft. And that's, you know, that's something we saw, you know, in person for the first time, you know, to see the fans go nuts when the big cat got that safety was something, you know, we hope to see, every home game wrap this year, and all the road ones wrap this year. So, I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be sweet seeing this kid's 21 years old, you know, and he hasn't even played with Mo Wilkerson yet. So, I mean, that's something, you know, I can't wait to see. I think Mo Wilkerson's going to be playing for, you know, against the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to be, you know, that's, you know, those two, I mean, obviously when Sheldon Richard comes back, that's going to be a nasty, threesome right there. But, you know, Leonard Williams, what a game, you know, in the first half against, you know, it was the backup quarterback in there. Still, you know, Leonard Williams, you know, showed great promise. You know, there's a reason why the Jets drafted him sixth. And, you know, I bet McCagnan had a big smile on his face, I know, when he got that sack safety.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, people were talking last week. It's funny how much the narrative changed in 1 week, Vinny, because I remember last week it was, oh, we should have drafted Vic Beasley. Oh, Kevin White, why didn't we lose – against the Dolphins to get Mariota? Why didn't we trade up? And then this week, some of the same people who I saw on Twitter who were blowing up on Leonard Williams were saying, oh my God, he's the greatest. He's awesome. Look how good our defensive line is going to be. And, you know, you made a good point. You made a good point too. It's just, I just had to mention that real quick. But you made a good point about him not playing really alongside Sheldon Richardson too much. Sheldon was in the game with him a whole lot. And you obviously have Wilkerson who's been out. And then you also have, you know, the exotic blitz schemes and things like that, where they're all going to be on the field at the same time doing different things, you know, different stunts and things like that. And obviously the first game he played 12 snaps, he didn't get any tackles, he didn't get on the stat sheet. But then you look at the next game where he looked a lot more comfortable. Vinny, 16 snaps for and getting five tackles, three tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks with a safety and three quarterback hits, and only 16 snaps is literally ridiculous. Like if he can do anything close to that, he will be one of the best defensive linemen in the entire league. I'm not trying to overreact. I don't want people to get on me and say I'm overreacting and things like that. But if that's any sign towards the future of what Leonard Williams can do without Sheldon Richardson or without Muhammad Wilkerson, then watch out for this kid, because it seemed like every time we looked up, every time, you know, we turned to each other, and just ridiculous how many plays that kid was making in the only 16 snaps. It felt like he actually played a lot more snaps. I don't know about you, Vin, but obviously we're there. We can't see all the stats and things
like
that.
Yeah, it did.
And we're college kids, so we, you know, it's not like we can afford the first tier where we can see the numbers and know who it is every time and see how many times they're in. But, you know, every time we looked up, it seemed that Leonard Williams was making a play. So it seemed like he was actually in the game a lot more than 16 snaps. If I had to guess, I would have said like 30 to 40. So he really, really impressed me, obviously. So he was definitely a bright spot, and hopefully he keeps it up versus the Giants. We'll see. But, you know, give me some other positives, Vinny. We were there. We watched. But give me some other positives that you took away from the game. You know, who looked good, who didn't look good. Get into that a little bit, but just the positives for now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of players, who stood out, made some, nice flashy plays. Brandon Marshall, this guy was four catches for 62 yards on a night where, Fitzpatrick really didn't, throw the ball down the field. If I had to guess, I don't think he would have thrown the ball more than, 12 yards downfield on a pass. Marshall had that one, I think it was a curl when he, broke a tackle, went up the sideline for a 30-yard gain. Yeah. This is something I think he's going to do a lot this year, especially when he has one-on-one coverage. Just, get the ball to this guy, on one-on-one coverage. He's just like Chris Ivory when he's out there. This guy's 6'4", 6'5", 230. He's going to, I don't think one cornerback is going to be able to take down Brandon Marshall. So, I'll bet my money on, Brandon Marshall, one-on-one coverage, a lot, put it that way. He showed some good flashes. In limited action, of course. Jamari Lattimore, this guy was all over the field, just like Rontez Miles. Those two guys were, felt like the three guys who really stood out on defense was obviously the big cat Rontez and Jamari Lattimore. I felt like Jamari Lattimore was all over the field. I think he caused the fumble, to end the game, if I'm not mistaken. I saw him all over the field. He played good. Who else was on? Forrest, we're working with on the defense line was Jason Babin, actually. This guy, had a sack and a half. This is a guy, in my opinion, a few weeks ago, I thought he would, be on the outside looking in on the roster bubble. But now this is a guy, especially with this week with injuries to Lorenzo Malden and Calvin Pace, this is a guy in Jason Babin who's, stepping right in and is going to see a lot of playing time, especially, this upcoming preseason week. So, if he, if he does this again, he's going to be 34, I think he's going to be 35 in September once the season starts. This is a guy who, if these guys are, down, hopefully not for, any considerable amount of time, but this is a guy who, if he plays like he did, he's going to be on the field 30, 40 snaps, whatever the case may be. If he shows production, Coach Bowles is not afraid to, regardless of his age, even if he's 10 years older than Lorenzo Malden, he's going to play. So, that was a bright spot to see, especially because I really think he was doing too much throughout camp. And then, it was just bad luck, to Jeremy Curley, who had two nice catches. And then, of course, a guy can't make this up for this camp for Jeremy Curley, getting the concussion. This guy came into camp, new regime, new head coach, new GM, just signed a fresh deal last year with the old GM. Comes in, thinking he's still that number, the number three receiver, that spot receiver. Has been really playing with the second and even third string teams at points in camp. Has a solid, nice little game. I think he had a nice little punt return, if I'm not mistaken. So that was nice to see. I had an 8-yard punt return. Eight yards. But hey, he had two nice catches. Then it's unfortunate to see him go down. Hopefully he's not out, too long. But then, right there on the offense side, and just going back to the guy in charge, Ryan Fitzpatrick, didn't make any bonehead decisions, and he really didn't, force the envelope really, and throw the ball downfield. I'm not saying this is what I want to see him do in the regular season. I want to see him make some do some downfield throws, especially to guys like Brandon Marshall or Eric Decker. Eric Decker didn't have too great of a game, but a guy like Brandon Marshall, I don't think he should be afraid to throw the ball downfield to him. He didn't really do too much in the preseason. But again, it's preseason. I think next week against, a banged up Giants secondary, I think that's where you see Ryan Fitzpatrick, see what he can do, throwing the ball downfield. His arm strength isn't quite there. I know you mentioned that a few times during the game. His arm strength wasn't, quite what we think it, was, in previous years, especially when he was on the Bills. But, again, it's preseason. And, of course, Chris Ivory, there's a lot of guys who stuck out, a few guys who, again, it's preseason, like the Rickshaw Ferguson, for example. Vic Beasley made him look pretty foolish a few plays in that game. But again, the guy I'm trying to stay positive. The guys who did good were, I know Lattimore. This is a guy, especially going back to those injuries. This guy who I think is going to be on the team, and the guy who can just flat out tackle. He's just like David Harris, who can just you know, in space, this guy's going to make the tackle. You know, he showed that, you know, obviously in the preseason game. But, you know, those are the guys, you know, who really stood out. You know, the secondary, the starters. I mean, it was weird because, you know, they had the long punt return. So you didn't really get to see, you know, Revis. You know, he had a nice tackle, you know, along with two others. I think Gilchrist was on the tackle. But, you know, really, it was really those guys stood out, especially Damari Lattimore.
Yeah, I don't know what point I'm going to go to there, Vinny, but you're just going all over the place. So I don't really know where I'm going to go from here. But, you know, Marshall on that hitch route, you know, caught a 5-10 yard hitch, basically boxed the guy out like a NBA power forward, then ran it for 30 yards. So I definitely liked what he did. You know, 4 catches, but he had like 62 yards or something like that. I'm not getting too much into stats in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when the regular season comes around, we'll be more focused on things like that. So you mentioned Marshall. You know, Jamari Lattimore too. He was in the running for one of our stars. He really made some nice plays, and I think the inside linebacker position, which I don't want to get into too much now because I feel like it's a huge topic that we should get into. It's really hard to call now because Joe Mays really looked well. I'm not sure if it was actually Joe Mays or Lattimore who forced that fumble at the end of the game. I'm kind of leaning towards Joe Mays, but you know, it doesn't matter obviously too much. But Lattimore looked great. He's one of the only coverage linebackers we have too. You have David Harris, who is a run stuffer, DeMario Davis, who is just kind of, you know, all right at
in the middle,
everything.
Yeah,
and then you have Mays, who's a run stuffer. You have Henderson, who's a little bit more versatile. But I feel like Lattimore really is a good shot to make this team. Obviously, we talked about last year, you know, 8 starts for the Packers. So being the only coverage inside linebacker, I think he's going to have a, you know, a good shot to make the team. And even in practice, it's not even just in the preseason games, but you look at practice reports and you know, you update your Twitter and you see all these things and you read these reports and, you know, you follow the people who you trust their opinion. You see Lattimore just all the time and just making plays. You hear from Glenn, you know, always in coverage, always, he might drop a lot of picks. And I hear that a lot about practice. He drops a lot of picks, but at least he's there to deflect the ball.
That's a good situation.
Exactly. So at least he puts himself in that position. So I think he really has a good shot, and that inside linebacker position is, you know, very interesting. I want to talk about that in a little bit, but, you know, you mentioned Fitzpatrick. For all the people who are, oh, the Jets offense is miserable, it's boring, you know, slow, methodical, you know, a lot of checkdowns. I understand that his stat line didn't necessarily reflect what we watched because it seemed like he was throwing the ball to Ivory and Powell and little short slants and outs and things like that. But as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, then that's all we need. And then to come out as Jets fans and to think that this guy is going to light up the preseason when the guy has had 2 weeks with the starters is a little bit absurd. So give the guy some more time. 2 weeks with the starters, I know he talks about, you know, he's used to different receivers. He's used to this offense, so it's a little bit easier for him. But let him get used to Brandon Marshall, Decker, Amaro, and all of these guys. I don't expect him to come out and completely light up the Giants either when he plays. He needs some more time. And then you mentioned Babin. You know, you talk about his spot on the roster and you talk about it in Jeopardy. And I think a certain someone in IK, Annapoli, might have opened up his roster spot. So, but I think he's fighting with a guy like Trevor Riley for the third down specialist type of role where he rushes the passer. And he has impressed me a little bit. At camp, he's looked good. And that game, he looked good. He pressured the quarterback a lot. So I think Babin is really going to have his chance to step up. And obviously, we talked about Malden getting injured, so he's not going to play this game, and Calvin Pace is injured, and I'm not sure. I haven't seen an injury report on him, but he's an old veteran type of guy. He doesn't need to play in the preseason, so he can set this game out. I don't think the Jets should really risk him, especially when the outside linebacker is kind of a thin position for us. So I think a guy like Riley and a guy like a Babin are really going to have a chance to step up this you know, preseason game. Obviously, we talked about, you know, Rontez Miles, we talked about Ivory, we talked about Leonard Williams. I thought Powell looked pretty good. Another thing I noticed a lot was Inunua was really working in the slot again a lot with the number ones. He didn't really do anything too impressive, but his blocking is definitely solid. I think that's why they're going to have him there a decent amount this season if he does make the team. Because just like with Gailey in Buffalo, he had a guy in David Nelson who was in the slot blocking a lot, obviously to open up lanes for a Chris Ivory. Because if Jeremy Curley's on the outside, and we both love him. You know, he's 5'9". He's going to get dominated by some safeties and you know, bigger cornerbacks like a Sherman or something like that. You look at Quincy Nunua, I think he's about 6'2", you know, 225. So he's a big boy in himself. So I think he's going to be out, you know, impressing us a little bit in the season. I think he's going to step up a little bit. We talked about Joe Mays. I think he's really, really been making a lot of plays this preseason. And even recently in practice, I've heard a lot about Joe Mays. So Joe Mays is really stepping up, obviously a leader. You know, older type of guy who's been a starter in his career. So for him to be, you know, possibly make the fourth string on our inside linebacker position, I think that's a possibility. We talk about offensive line. I think the first offensive line, there's some plays where Carpenter got blown up and things like that. But I think the offensive line overall as a unit really, really impressed me. The passing game, like I said, the pass blocking has been decent. There's been some times where DeBrickshaw Ferguson, guys like that, have gotten beaten. But when you're talking about the run game, Vindy, Carpenter completely destroyed a guy in the second level. I believe he drove him back maybe 10, 15 yards on that 33-yard Chris Ivory touchdown run. So the offensive line has been impressing me. We talk about Marshall. Obviously, he's impressive. He's just a physical freak of nature. He looks like Cam Chancellor or, you know, some type of inside linebacker. So he impressed me. And then another thing that impressed me, too, is obviously the three turnovers. You know, in the past couple of years, the Jets have really had problems with turnovers and getting them and forcing them. And, you know, the differential was always like minus or plus 10 or whatever it was. So that definitely impressed me. But, you know, now we'll go into the negatives. I think this game overall was almost just as much positives as it was negatives. It's kind of an even game, whereas the Lions game, the first game, it really looked like a new coach, a new team. And obviously the Jets had 17 penalties that game, and a couple of the drives were killed by penalties. So that's really been bad, at least the penalties. But you look at week one tackling, that wasn't an issue. Week two, week three, I doubt the penalties will be as much of an issue. And for all the people who are going out to Todd Bowles, you know, saying accountability, all this stuff, penalties. He's a new coach. We talked about this plenty of times, Vinny, that the first four games, the defense isn't going to light it up. The offense isn't going to light it up. They'll look better in the second half of the season because it's new coaching. You know, Jets fans have been used to Rex Ryan, you know, for 6 years. So we weren't used to adjustments. There's going to be penalties. There's going to be stupid plays. There's going to be some stupid timeouts. And another quick thing, too, Vinny, that I noticed, talking about timeouts, and being stupid, I actually noticed at the end of the second half, the Jets actually had all three timeouts. I don't know when the last time the Jets under Rex Ryan, and I'm not trying to crap over Rex Ryan, but the last time we actually had all three timeouts. So there's just little things that I noticed. I think Todd Bowles, you know, really stepped it up. And then obviously in training camp this week, or in mini camp, he started to tell the refs that our coach are reffing the Jets practices that he wants them to call everything, and he says they're not going to win like that. So I like his accountability for all those people who are getting on Todd Bowles. He's a new coach. That's a little bit about that. But now tell me your negatives. You know, anybody who really stood out who didn't look good to you?
Yeah, I mean, the main guy, you know, he's not a flashy name or anything, but it was, you know, Kellen Davis, the linebacker, had three first half penalties. I believe, I know at least one of them were on the first down.
I believe you mean tight end, Vinny, but keep going. I know you're missing
tight end,
5 o'clock in the morning, but go ahead.
Kellen Davis, you know, I got three penalties, you know, of 17. That was, you can't be doing that if you want to make a team. But again, it's a tight, tight ends is a slim position right now. So I guess he can afford to make those penalties. And he's, he's a veteran, but 17 penalties, like you just said, that's something, you know, preseason or not, that's something that just that's like a number you can't even, you know, try to do in Madden or anything like that. It's just, that's hard to do, and especially in a football game. I guess, you know, preseason, you have a lot of guys going in and,
Vinny,
in and out.
Vinny,
like,
I just got Madden.
Vinny,
oh, yeah. I just got Madden last night, and let me tell you, you could definitely get 17 penalties. It's actually funny. I thought about you today. You know, converted a big third down. I know we're talking about Madden. Who cares? But, you know, converted a big third down play, you know, losing to the Colts and comes back holding. Guess who? Willie Colon. I was like, Jesus.
Colon, baby.
Forecasting. But go ahead. Keep going, Vin. Talking about Kellen Davis.
Well, yeah, Kellen Davis, you know, three first half penalties. That was the main guy on offense, you know, and DeBrickshaw Ferguson. I only saw about, you know, we were there, but, you know, when you get home and try to, you know, watch some tape on the game. I was just looking at what Vic Beasley was doing against, against DeBrickshaw Ferguson. I think he had two spin moves where DeBrickshaw Ferguson might have got a hand on one of them. It was like that third down play where they tried setting up a screen, it looked like, and where Ryan Fitzpatrick got blown up from his blind side. I think it was a third down. I know that was, you know, him and DeBrickshaw, who were expecting big things from, you know, a bounce back year from DeBrickshaw Ferguson this year, you know, had a bit of a down year last year. You know, he's getting up there in age, but, you know, hey, it's preseason. I'm not trying to look into it too much, especially with DeBrickshaw, a guy who, you know, who's been in the league, you know, been all pro, he has, you know, all the accolades you want out of your left tackle. But that, then, you know, third down efficiency, you know, 4 for 12, you know, not that bad actually for a preseason game, but that's something when you consider a lot of them were, you know, third down and short, especially early on when Fitzpatrick, I think it was like 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4, you know, tried forcing the end there to Jeff Crumlin when he was double teamed. That was something that, you know, it wasn't too encouraging. But again, like you said, 2 weeks, you know, with the starters, you know, not trying to, you know, overanalyze anything. That was really something, you know, you want to see improvement over, especially in the third preseason game against the Giants team, who we talk about injuries. The Giants have, you know, countless injuries. They had, you know, backup safeties go down, backup linebackers, everything. So, you know, this is a team who's banged up. It's going to be interesting to see how they can do. Well, I mean, that's really it. I mean, Cromartie and screen on a touchdown, getting, you know, tangled up. I mean, that's something. Even though they scored on that pick play on the slant that scored, I mean, who scored it for the Falcons? But that's something actually. Even though they scored out, you know, you want to see that happen in preseason so they can adjust to that. You know, fix it, have the tape on. You know, what they've done wrong. So that's going to be, you know, good, especially with a guy like Screen who's still learning from all these, you know, all these all-pro cornerbacks. You know, he played with Joe Hayden last year, but he really was, you know, playing alongside of him, you know, as covering the number two receiver, not really their slot as much, even though he's, a true slot guy. So, I mean, learning from a Cromartie and a Revis in the room, I mean, who else would you rather learn from, you know, if you're a cornerback in this league, especially if you, you know, do something, you know, wrong. I think Cromartie, when they scored, he was, you know, jumping up and down, you know, panting basically like a baby, which he does sometimes when the team scores, has a penalty on him.
Jesus, call Cromartie out, man. Panting like a baby.
No, that's what he does sometimes. But I mean, you gotta love Cromartie. You know, he plays a lot of heart, but you know, sometimes too much. Yeah, you know, he shows a lot of emotion on the field, which is a good thing. But you know, mainly those three things. Yeah, I mean, Eric Decker didn't have, you know, a great game. He had a drop and a penalty. I think it was a holding penalty. That wasn't encouraging. But again, you know, you think you know what you're going to get from a guy like Eric Decker, who was here by himself last year. He had over 950 yards without any help. So, I mean, mainly those things. They're just the penalties, man. The penalties, those are things that are just going to kill the Jets. You know, 17 penalties. I wonder if Willie Colon had any penalties. I don't think he did. So that's something that's very interesting. But, penalties.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm not sure if he got a penalty. I was actually thinking about that. I didn't want to say if I wasn't sure, but I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'll look at that after we talk about that. He might have. Regardless, yeah, go ahead. If you can look that up, then you let me know if Willie Colon got a penalty. Because if he didn't get two penalties in two games, you know, even though he's played only a couple snaps, that's impressive for Willie Colon. Since obviously, you know, he gets a penalty every two snaps he's on the field or something like that. But you know, you talked about DeBrickashaw Ferguson. There's no way that if this guy plays like he did last year that he's gonna deserve that $14 million. And obviously left tackle is probably one of the top five most important positions on the team, so I don't think you're just gonna cut him. But he does not deserve that $14 million he's getting next year. So I think he definitely needs a bounce back here. And like you said, you know, Vic Beasley abused him a couple times actually. And got, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick hit a couple times. So Vic Beasley definitely created pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I wasn't a big fan of DeBrickashaw Ferguson's game. The backup offensive line, like I talked about, you know, previously to this week against the Lions, the backup offensive line, you think, you know, guys like Dozier and Ibushi and Ben Ijelana and Wesley Johnson, all these guys who are really fighting for, you know, those three, four, maybe five spots to really step up and play well. But they have not played well at all, in my opinion. Really getting pressure on the quarterbacks and letting pressure on the quarterbacks. Obviously, you know, Kellen Davis, three penalties. I believe two of them, they went for first downs, then they'd be called back because Kellen Davis got a penalty. So he definitely really did not impress me, especially when he's supposed to be a blocking tight end and he can't, you know, not even hold somebody. So he was very disappointing. I thought Walt Powell, too, after a solid week two, I mean, a solid week one, he was inimpressive on special teams. It seemed like every time he got the ball, he would run it to the 15, mm-hmm. you know, 18-yard line and just get hit once and go down. He really didn't find any lanes. So that was disappointing. 17 penalties, obviously. And then something else we didn't mention, too, you know, was Quentin Coples. Vinny, you know, just – I think I'm echoing a little bit right now, so I'll let you take the floor.
Very good.
But, you know, talk about Quentin Coples because – in my opinion, you know, he obviously got he didn't look good in coverage. He got that one pass against him, which was like the first play of the game where the fullback got a 60-yard completion. And everybody talked about how bad the defense looked, but after the first drive, which I believe was 84 yards or something like that, and then you had that one catch, which Todd Bowles said was miscommunication. But after that first drive, the Jets actually only let up one, I believe, 1 yard the starting unit. So, and obviously a lot of that was against the Falcons' second unit. So you can't take too much from it, but you have to put some stock into it because the good teams, you know, the good teams do that. They do good against the bad guys, and they did what they had to do. So, but, you know, talk about his play, at least in the offseason, you know, in that preseason game, because he's been a big topic, you know, throughout the quarters and
Yeah, he really has. You know, this is a guy, again, you know, how many times can we say this? This is a huge year for Quinn Coble's. Again, a first-round pick, you know, we all know. I know the Jets just picking up his option. You know, recently I was just reading a few articles on Quinn Coble's, actually, how he's just going to be, you know, strictly a pass rusher now. But again, you know, just seeing that in coverage on a fullback, I mean, that's not what you want to see. You would think you would take, you know, Quinn Coble's over a fullback in coverage. I mean, that was just, he just looked slow. His, you know, His east to west coverage, it was like DeMario Davis in week one in Detroit. But and Quinn Coble's just couldn't, you know, he can't cover. You know, I think it took us 4 years to know that Quinn Coble's cannot cover even a fullback in the NFL. This is a guy who, you know, hasn't had more than 6.5 sacks in a season. And when you consider with the Big Cat addition, with Mohammed Wilkerson, with Sheldon Rich and all these guys around him, you'd figure this is the year for Quinn Coble's, even though, you know, Sheldon's obviously spending the first four games, but this has to be the year for Quinn Coble's. I mean, you know, he has shown us very little. You know, I know you were talking about this at the game, how he was good in run coverage and things like that. You know, he made a few plays, you know, in run coverage, but this is a guy who's getting paid. You know, he's a rusher. I mean, this is something the Jets haven't had in countless years. This is someone, an outside linebacker who can beat, you know, beat a left or right tackle and get to the quarterback. That's something Quinn Coble's, you know, obviously the Jets invested in Quinn Coble's for him to do that. So for him not to show anything through, you know, really his camp and, you know, throughout the preseason is definitely, you know, not an encouraging sign. You know, he doesn't really seem too worried about it when, he's being interviewed. He's still talking about, I know, how he's still up in his, you know, high hopes and things like that about an upcoming breakout year. But I mean, this is, what is his fourth year? I think it's time for a former first round pick to break out, especially a guy who's, you know, his fourth year, 16.5 career sacks in 3 seasons. I was reading an article. He had an interview with a guy from the New York Post, and he was saying, you know, 10 sacks is the 10 sacks is the goal this year, and Quinn Coble's going to do that. You know, again, 16.5 sacks in his first 3 years. If he can get 10 sacks in, you know, 1 year for him, that is something, you know, I think obviously everyone would sign up for, but he hasn't shown any of that so far. I know this guy, you know, has talked a lot. You know, he's a quiet talker, but he seems like he's been talking a lot this offseason, how he's going to have a breakout year, and he really just hasn't shown anything. So, again, this upcoming week 3 preseason game, I know this is a huge. Again, the Giants O-line has struggled for the last 4 years. I believe he's going to go up against, the rookie Ereck Flowers, who they draft in the first round. So that's going to be a nice matchup. To see what Coble's can do against, you know, first round. You know, Ereck Flowers has actually looked pretty good for the Giants so far in the first two games. So if he can, you know, show us just something, you know, we need to see something from Quinn Coble's. We got the Big Cat going. We got a few, you know, Jason Babin going. If Coble's can get going into this first, in this third preseason game and get rolling into the season, again, this is a team, you know, what we expect had 45, 46 sacks last year. You know, bump up. I think you were saying that, you know, we had the show a few weeks ago,
57.
That the Jets can have, 57 sacks. So, I mean, if Coples can, you know, bump his number from what 4.5 or 5.5, whatever it was last year, to 10, 11 sacks, 6.5 sacks last year, to, you know, bump it up 5 sacks, 4 sacks, whatever the case may be. If he can do that, then this is just a totally different team. Because Quinn Coples, this guy is just, he just adds a totally different complex, you know, to this team when he's on, you know. But I mean, we just haven't seen that yet from Quinn Coples.
No, and that was a big topic of conversation this week too. And yeah. I actually talked to, you know, the guys from CNC Football Factory. I talked to CJ, and you know he has very mixed reviews from Jets fans. A lot of Jets fans think that he's a third down rushing specialist, but I haven't seen a third down rushing specialist. I think he's more of an even kind of guy, because more times than not, I don't know if it's just me, I don't know if I'm an idiot or if Jets fans completely disagree with me, but when I notice Quinton Coppel, it's making plays in the run game. You know, when he comes off the edge and he's spearing guys or he literally clotheslining people like he did last year, Maurice Jones-Drew, in the first game of the season. And I remember the Saints game 2013 on an end around. He actually, you know, stopped the fourth down conversion, mm-hmm. and he actually stopped him like 5 yards behind the line. So I think he's, you know, actually more even than people think he is. And I don't really care about Pro Football Focus because everybody puts, you know, all their opinions into Pro Football Focus. But last year, Pro Football Focus actually ranked Kyle Wilson as one of the best corners. So that just tells you all you need to know about that and how you can't, you know, look at numbers and stats and things like that for a bunch of computer nerds who are trying to put together stats. But 2013, Coppel's actually ranked higher as a run defender than he is a pass rusher. So he's a mixed bag of tricks. But he really hasn't reached his potential. Uh-huh. He's not a bust. You can't call him a bust. He's not Vernon Golston. But has he lived up to his first round expectations? There's no way he has. He's more of a, you know, a decent role player in the team. He's not a guy who I think even deserves $7 million that he's getting, you know, next year if the Jets decide to actually exercise that fifth year option. But you talk about that fullback play when he was basically just covering the flat, and I don't know if he could have possibly took a worse angle on that ball or looked more unathletic than he did, but it literally looked like a kid who's never played football before trying to deflect the pass in the video. And I honestly say this, you know, we talk about this jokingly sometimes that we could have done it, but honestly, in that play, I think that me and you might have been able to deflect that ball.
Oh, definitely. At least I don't know, but more. I definitely would have had that. You, I don't know, but, you know, I think I would have
all right,
that.
Yeah, no. Of course, you know, because you're just amazing. I got these lanky arms, man. I got these lanky arms, these lanky legs, and, you know, jump like a frog.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You got it. So, you know, seriously though, he looked bad, yeah. And there was actually a play too when I had to rewind it because there was a run to the left side, and I forget who on the Falcons scored, wherever running back was in, but Quinton Coppel is trying to like feel the edge, and he just looked like he wasn't trying, just getting pushed around. So Coppel's really looked like he's been lacking effort. He didn't look good in the game at all. And then we talk about this too. I believe we talked about this last week, Vinny, was that have you heard Quinton Coppel's name once in camp? I really don't think I have. You know, we talk about Pryor, you talk about, you know, all these, you know, you talk about Revis and Cromartie, and little quick thing, I've actually been hearing that Cromartie's been having better camps, and I think Buster Screen has really been more impressive. But we talk about those guys, and those are the kind of guys in practice we don't want to hear those names, because usually when you hear a cornerback's name, it's because they're getting a completion or they're getting burned. So they've been doing well. But Quinton Coppel's, you know, a guy who's a defensive end, outside linebacker, is supposed to be making plays in practice, and I have heard nothing of Quinton Coppel. So hopefully he steps up, and I think that him not playing to Wilkerson, obviously, most of the time he's lined up to the left of Wilkerson or the right of Wilkerson. And since Wilkerson's been out, I have not seen him being making plays, no effort, none of this stuff. So he's really disappointed me. And hopefully he steps up in this Giants game, you know, with Maldon out, with Pace out. It's going to be him, Babb, and Riley, and then a couple undrafted guys who are most likely not going to make this team. But, you know, that's it about the game. But talk to me now about another thing that I do not want to talk about. I hate talking about it, but we're a Jet Nation radio show. We have to talk about stupid crap like this happens all the time and a lot in this offseason. But, you know, talk to me about our no longer boy, Odeyabushi.
Odeyabushi, you know, what a – I don't like to say our boy, but this is a guy you were high on. I know you're right. You're right. You're right. I was on him, you know. He was my boy for, you know, a few weeks, but –
No, not a few weeks. Let's get this straight right here. Because the Jets-Raiders game, when we were on the field and we actually snuck to a certain part of the stadium where the players walked in, I don't know if we were supposed to be there, but we saw him walk in and we ran over there. You know, we met one of Odeyabushi's friends. And we were talking about how good he was looking, and his friend was talking about watch out for him this year. And he's been our boy for the whole entire season, last season, all this stuff. So don't try to just completely dump this crap on me, but keep going, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many stupid things do the Jets have to do for, you know, another Jets player to actually learn, you know, from this? I mean, Odeyabushi, he's been here for, what is his third year, I believe?
I believe it's his third year.
So, I mean, he has, you know, been, you know, seen all the antics with Rex, all the, you know, shenanigans of what basically you're not supposed to do. You've seen that with Rex. You had a guy in Todd Bowles come in. You see, you know, what happened.
Really quick, Vin, the thing too that I wanted to mention about the Ode Ibushi thing,
yeah,
was that, again, with all these people who I don't understand how you get on Todd Bowles about, you know, the IK thing, the Geno thing, all these things that they're getting, you know, on Todd Bowles about. It's kind of like me getting raised really poorly in my house, and my parents, you know, being really bad parents, and me going to school, and you know, Todd Bowles being that school, and me acting like a perfect kid who gets straight A's. It's not going to happen. It's going to take time for him. You know, he's been with these guys for 2 months. It's going to take time for these guys to learn to you know, adjust to him. And then with the IK thing too, you know, he cut the guy with Sheldon. He's working with a second team with Ode Ibushi. First of all, this didn't happen this week. This didn't happen last month. This didn't happen the month before that. It didn't happen the month before that. It happened before Todd Bowles was even hired. It happened in early February. So before people start saying that Todd Bowles is accountability, look what his team is doing. This happened before Todd Bowles was hired. Just throwing out to the people, because I don't want to read it on Twitter. I don't want to read any Bleacher Report things. I don't want to read Manish Mehta posting stupid articles like he always does. This is not him. Todd Bowles is not going to change the culture of this team in 2 months like people think he is. He's still learning the people. He's still learning the team. He's still learning the coaching staff and all these things. So just don't expect him to come in and be the number one defensive coach, the number one, you know, number one with all these guys in discipline. He's not one of these Hall of Fame. He's not Bill Parcells yet. Everybody just pump your brakes a little bit. It's really just driving me nuts, Vinny. You know, keep going.
All right, relax. You know, take a deep breath and relax for a second, buddy.
You know me and my impatience problems and my slight
anger
problems.
You know, I can see you just running, you know, panting around the room. Hey, take a seat. You know, relax. Take a deep breath, bud.
My headset is connected to my computer right now, so I actually can't pace around my room. But if I could, I would.
All right, but anyways, you know, going back to this, you know, again, Brian Todd Bowles, you know, having this guy, you know, in charge is something, you know, I think a lot of players have taken notice of it, but, I mean, still, all the players who have been here with Rex, how many stupid things, you know, just keep happening to this team, you know, before they just learn about it. It's just, it's baffling for Ode Ibushi to do that, especially, you know, a guy, even though this happened in January, right? So, you know, it's a guy who entering this
February.
February, whatever, you know. Okay, so, I mean, it's a guy who, you know, knowing, you know, coming into a huge year for him that he was actually going to have a chance, you know, to start. You know, obviously we both thought he was going to be able to start this year. You know, there's a reason why he's now a third string depth chart now. This is a guy, I mean, you just can't, you just don't know what these guys are thinking sometimes, especially a guy like Ode Ibushi, who, you know, had a, you know, was a fifth round draft pick, you know, wouldn't have made a lot of teams, not a lot of fifth round, you know, picks make the team nonetheless start 10 games before their third year. So, I mean, this is a guy who, again, had a golden opportunity, golden chance for him to start this year, and for him to do even, you know, even if it was a very small amount of marijuana, it was very stupid. You should not be, you know, associated with any of that. So, I mean, our boy, I'll admit it. You're right. This is, you know, my boy for a little bit. I'm 0-1 now with my boy references for the Jets. I'm just going to keep him as
I am honestly disappointed that you try to throw me under the bus. And for you throwing me under the bus, you know, I'm just going to tell everybody that for whatever reason, you know, whatever mood that Vin was in on Friday night when we went to the Jets game, you know, you guys have that unwritten rule, Vinny, of, you know, when there's 30 stalls in the bathroom or 30 urinals, you know, you separate as much as you can. I would go to the far left, you go to the far right. But for whatever reason, Vincent LaRocca was just going to the bathroom right next to me and just looking. He's probably the weirdest thing I've ever, you know, experienced with Vin. You know, I love him. He's probably my best friend. But something was in Vin's blood that day. I really don't know what was up. So I'll throw you under the bus a little bit there for just being completely weird. But, you know, Ode Ibushi, you know, early February this happened. We talked about this. I feel like we just talked about this so much, man. It's just so repetitive. We can just take a little clip from what we say in a previous episode and just put in the same thing. But, you know, me and you are making, you know, we're college kids. We're making $30,000, $40,000 a year, and we wouldn't do this. It doesn't have to be, you know, Ode Ibushi, who's the starter. Ode Ibushi is the backup to the starter and might get a chance to play this year. It doesn't even matter. If you're a full-grown man and you're responsible enough and you have respect for your team and your coach, you don't do this stuff. It's just stupid. I don't care if it's a joiner or a blunt. You put it down for 10 years of your life, or you figure out the system. You do it in your friend's house, or you do it in safe places, or just do something. And I'm not trying to sound like Chris Carter, who this week, you know, said for rookies
they're
take a fall guy, or whatever the hell he said. I don't want to listen to him. He's just an idiot. Some of these guys really get exposed and they get asked about personal situations or, you know, life kind of things. You know, they know a lot about football, but when you talk about good people, a lot of these analysts are not that. But O'Day, basically, you're an idiot. One game suspension. You know, was this possibly the reason for his low reps? Did he lose the starting job to a Willie Colon because of this? Because you know, it seemed like a lot this season, Vinny, or this mini camp. We were sitting here and we were talking. You know, why is he getting second and third team reps? What is happening with him? Is he really not impressing? And this could easily be the reason why he's not getting those you know, first team reps. And oh my God, but Todd Bowles is so unaccountable. And then on top of that, he got careless driving. So. You know, we'll see if he's cut. We'll see if he's on the team for a guy. At one time, really seemed like he had a lot of promise, and at the end of last year, he really flashed a lot. But you know, we'll see what happens with that. And then something else I heard this week too, you know, just to throw out some little things. I heard that actually Sheldon might only be suspended for the 4 games this year. Vinny, obviously, we just talked about
him
and Leonard Williams and person, because, and it's not the fact that he's not going to get suspended for, you know, basically drag racing and smoking weed and having a kid. I'm not.